Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit and we talked about Pentecost and what that meant for us as believers. And this week, with it being Father's Day, I've really been praying and asking God what He would have me to share with dads today. I felt very different about this Father's Day, different than I've ever felt. And the more that I prayed about what I needed to share, and the more I was like, okay, this is what I need to share. I couldn't put the words together, what I really wanted to say. And this past week, I was listening to a podcast, and there was the guy said something, and it jumped inside my spirit. My spirit just jumped inside of me, and it was like, this is it. This is what he wanted me to share. And what he said was, God is a God of generations, and it just resonated in me. That's what I was wanting to say, and I just couldn't put a word to it, and what I was feeling, and even though this is geared towards dads, this is for everyone. God is a God of generations. There's a worship song that says, a thousand generations, all who gone before us and all who will believe will gather, join the angel song, and sing, holy, 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 God is a God of generations. He's a God of generations. He's described throughout Scripture as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's not one, that's three generations. And throughout Scripture, we see him confirm promises and continually promise things to the next generation that he had promised to the generation before. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he said, I remember your genuine faith from you, for you share the faith that was first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know the same faith continues strong in you. It's a generational God. His promises are generational. They go on. Genesis 17:7 says, he says, I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you. You're from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Throughout Scripture, we see him confirm promises with the next generation. We saw this with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the descendants of Jacob. We saw him confirm promises. Abraham was the first one to receive the promise. Then God confirms it again with Isaac, and then to Jacob, and none of them saw the promise come to fruition, but the descendants generations later did. He's a generational God. We see it in 1 Kings chapter 9 with Solomon. He says, God is speaking to him. He says, as for you, Solomon, if you will follow me with integrity and godliness, as David your father did, obeying all my commands and decrees and regulations, then I will establish the throne of your dynasty over Israel forever. For I made this promise to your father David, one of your descendants will always sit on the throne of Israel. He tells Solomon, I made this promise to your father, and now I'm making it to you. He's a God of generations. We read it last week in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It said, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away. All who have been called by the Lord our God. The promise being the gift of the Holy Spirit, those far away are the third and fourth and fifth and generations to come after those. It wasn't just for your kids and your grandkids. It was for every generation that would follow. That's why it says, for far away, for those far away. It's for every generation that follows. If you look at the church and you see how God designed his church, he designed his church to be a place for every tribe, tongue, and nation and generation to gather under a banner of Jesus. The primary task of the church, the people of God, is passing on our faith to the next generation. It's our collective responsibility to make sure that the next generation knows Jesus. we are not here to build bigger buildings, to sit in nice seats in the air condition, and complain about how cold it is. That's not what we're here for. We are here to spread the good news. We are here to share with the next generation. This responsibility doesn't just fall on Chelsea and I or Pastor Chris and Charity. This responsibility also rests in every one of you as believers. Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." He doesn't say to them, just you, 12, go and make disciples. He doesn't say, just the pastors, go and make disciples. He says, go and make disciples. He's speaking to everybody. How can you make a disciple if you won't be discipled? What kind of disciple are you making? If you're not faithful to the house, if you're not faithful to God, if you're not listening to His voice when He speaks and being obedient to Him, what kind of disciple are you making? It's for all believers, for us to make disciples. This is for you, Dad. This is for you, Mom. This is for everyone. These generations coming up, they need to hear. They need direction. Despite what mainstream media may say, this generation is not lost forever. We have the opportunity to point them in the direction they need to go. I was looking up some information on this, on the generations that are coming up, and I was reading about Generation Z. It's made up of people born between 1997 and 2012. Which would make them between the ages of 13 to 28 right now. Generation Z is the largest generation in the history of the world. Which means there are more people on the planet Earth right now that are part of Generation Z than any other generation that has ever lived. Gen Alpha is the generation coming up right behind them. Gen Alpha is made up of people born between 2013 and 2025, which means they're right now from birth to age 12. Gen Alpha is on track to unseat Gen Z as the largest generation ever in history. Depending on what study you look at, or social scientist that you hear, your reading the dates of the generations may differ a little bit. I don't want to get hung up on the dates that may go one year one way or one year another way. What I want you to understand is the size and the magnitude of the two largest generations in the history of the world. This is huge. Listen, we believe in missions. We believe in it, right? We are a missions church. We aren't going to stop sending missionaries, and we're not going to stop sending financial resources to missionaries to take the name of Jesus and the message of His love to people around the world who've never heard it. But let me make this very clear. Every generation is a people group, and these two generations make up the largest people groups in the history of the world. And what are we doing? What are we doing about it? Reaching their generation is the biggest opportunity in the history of the church to advance the gospel. And I believe with all my heart, God has mobilized each and every one of us as missionaries to reach the next generation for Jesus. Now, you know, I may not have woke up this morning thinking, man, I'm a missionary. You may have not been getting dressed this morning and thinking to yourself, I'm a missionary. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a missionary and have been called by God to impact the next generation for Jesus. And here's the best part of it. You don't have to buy a passport. You don't have to get on an airplane. You don't have to go to another country. They're right here. Dads, they're in your home. Grandparents, they're at your tables. You have a chance to be an impact at the dinner table, in the living room, driving down the road. You have a chance right here, right now in this church through multiple ministries and outreaches to the next generation. You can be a missionary to reach them for Jesus. We could always use more help in the nursery. We could always use more help in kids' church. We could always use more help on Wednesday nights. You know, it would be great for you just to come early on a Wednesday night and hang out with these kids and talk to them. It'd be pretty great. I would appreciate it. They'll appreciate it, maybe not now, but later. You have a chance to do something. There's one thing that I've learned. Is kids learn a lot more from action and watching than instruction. They're watching you. They're watching you. I catch myself all the time saying something or doing something and go, why am I doing it this way? It's because Dad or Grandpa did it that way. It's because that's what they would say. I find myself as a pastor saying things and doing things that my mentors did. I said something the other day, and I was long gone from saying it, and I was driving down the road, and I was playing the conversation back in my head because I do that all the time. And as I was playing it back on the reel-to-reel in my head, I was like, that's Glenn Dorsey. What did happen? I don't even feel like I could say that. The old saying, do as you say, not as you do. Do as I say, not as I do. Doesn't work. It didn't work for you. What makes you think it's going to work for the next generation? How many times did someone say that to you and you're like, kept doing exactly what you're doing? Right? We have to be the example. They are watching. What are they seeing? What are they seeing? Genesis 26, we see Isaac, and he's following the Lord's lead. During a famine, we see him do the same thing that his dad did. We see him do the same thing that Abraham did. And he tells people that his wife was his sister. He wasn't even alive when that scripture is recorded that Abraham did that. But what that tells me is that wasn't the only time that Abraham did that. It was a protection thing. If I tell them that she's my sister and not my wife, they won't kill me. Instead of trusting God. 1 Kings 3:3 says, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. He's walking in the steps of his father. Walking in the steps of his father. He was watching his dad. We see it in scripture. Who you hang out with and who you watch is who you will act like. We see it when Abraham sends away Hagar and Ishmael. And they go out in the desert and she puts Ishmael under a bush. And she goes out and she's crying. And God speaks to her and says, I heard the boy praying. He had been hanging out with Abraham. He had been watching dad pray. She had been hanging out with Sarah. She had been listening to negativity. They're watching. You think Timothy just got that faith from his mom and his grandma from just magically? He saw it. He saw his grandma praying. He saw his mom praying. He learned how to pray from them. What are your kids learning from you? Are they learning how to pray? Are they learning how to follow God? Are you talking to them about it? There's the other side of the coin. They're watching you. They're watching your bad habits. They're watching your bad habits. How many people do you know that that their father or their grandfather was an alcoholic, and then they become an alcoholic or they become a drug addict because that's what they saw and that's what they watched. We see it in Scripture too. 2 Kings 15:9 says, "And Zechariah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father had done. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin." 2 Chronicles 32:22 says, "And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. Amon sacrificed to all the images that Manasseh his father had made and served them." What are you showing your kids? What are they watching? What are they learning from you? What are they chasing because of you? Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not depart from it." What will this next generation see because they stand next to you and I? What will they see? What will they see? If we don't start showing and teaching these kids and these teenagers and these young adults who are coming in how to worship God, they're not going to know how. If we don't teach them how to pray, how will they know how? I don't want to be a church that 60 years from now we look back and the church is dying because we didn't train up the next generation. And I've heard it said right here, "Well, I did my part. I don't have to do that anymore." You're still alive. You're still breathing. Your part's not done. If they stand next to us, I want them to see what God has a plan and a purpose for their life. A purpose that is worth fighting for. That they will stand with, that we'll stand with them, that we'll be present in their life, that they will fight for spiritual awakening in their generation. We want our kids to succeed, right? Education is important. Sports can add value. But the most important job God has assigned to you and I as a parent is for you to help your kids know how to walk with God, to know how to hear His voice, to lead them into His presence. That's your greatest assignment as a parent. If you aren't willing to walk with God, if you're not willing to listen to His voice and follow His commands, if you're not willing to come into His presence, neither will your kids. What you chase, they're going to chase. According to the Bible, you, as a parent, not the church, are the primary disciplers of your children. The church is here to come alongside you and help you, but it's your responsibility as a parent. How are you discipling them? What are you discipling them to do? What are we teaching our kids? I read this statistics this week and said there's a 0.0296% chance that your child will become a professional athlete, but there is a 100% chance that your child will stand before God one day. What are you chasing? What are you chasing? What are your kids chasing because of your influence in their lives? I'm not bashing sports. I played sports. I enjoy watching sports. But if they're missing church because of sports, we have an issue. And the more, if we don't stand up as the church now, do you think the schools are just going to not keep playing games on Wednesday nights and keep having practices on Sunday? No. We're going to have to stand up. I'm really not trying to be, I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to be real with you. If we don't stand up now, we're going to see it more and more. When I was in high school, we didn't have sports on Wednesday nights. In fact, if we had any event on Wednesday night, it was very rare. That was church. But if we don't stand up, they're just going to keep pushing it. We got new coaches coming in right now at the school. Parents, you need to stand up and put your foot down and say, this is important to us. And although you might think this is important, we believe that church is important, and we're not going to come to practice and miss church. And students, that means that you can't act like a hellion out there on the field if you're supposed to be coming to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. Oh, I can see that church is really doing a great job for them. What are your kids chasing because of your influence in their lives? What are they chasing? What are they chasing? Dads, we got to get our priorities right. Their church is here to help you, but you got to make the commitment. Listen, money is not the end all. It certainly won't help you if you're lost and go to hell. It's not going to buy your way out. It's not the end all. I understand that you have to make a living. That's not what I'm saying. But if all we do is chase money and don't spend time with our kids, then we've messed up. It's our shared responsibility. It's our shared responsibility to show the next generation what to do. Psalm 78:2 says, "For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories of our fathers handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about the power and his mighty wonders. For he ensured his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." We have to share with the next generation. Teach your kids about tithing. Can't teach them unless you're doing it. Teach them why you do it. Teach them why you give. Teach them why you're doing something. If God speaks to your life for you to do something, tell your kids, this is why I'm doing this, because God has told us to. Let them ask questions. Let them ask questions. You don't have to have the answers. It's okay to not have the answers. It's okay to say, I don't really know why God is asking me to do this. I just know that I have to do it because he asked me. I didn't have all the answers that my kids asked me last year. I didn't have them. I didn't have all the questions, the answers that when they ask us why we were doing certain things. Honestly, I still don't have all the answers. But I know that God asked me to do it, and everything that he asked me to do, I did. Not always happy. I'll be honest. I wasn't always just really joyful about doing it. But I knew that he'd ask me. So I did it. Some of those things I realize now why. Some of those things I still don't know. But I know that with time God will show me. And I may not realize it until years down the road after whatever he does happens. That's why that happened. It's okay to talk to your kids about church. And it's okay if you don't have all the answers. You're still open in the conversation. What are we going to do What are we going to do? What are we going to do to reach this generation? What are you doing personally to reach this generation? How are you discipling them? What are your kids chasing because of you? Ask everyone that would to stand to your feet today. Lord, I just pray that today that you help us, that you help us to reach this next generation. Lord, that you help us to reach the generation that's currently in the house, the Gen Zs and the Gen Alphas, Lord, that are coming up, this next generation that's rising up, Lord. Help us to reach this generation. Lord, we have so many of those people already in this house. And Lord, help us help them to reach the ones around them. Lord, help us not lose another generation. Help us to not lose another people group. Help us to not lose another generation. Lord, I pray for these dads in this house, God. The weight of being a father is not light. And Lord, I just pray that you help them today. That you move on them today, God. Help them to be the priest of their homes. Help them to lead their homes to you. Help them to be obedient when you speak, God. Lord, I just pray that you help us to reach this next generation. All of us share a part in it. And Lord, I pray that you help us to do that today. I'm not going to give you a specific altar call, but I just feel like that there's some of you in this room that you just need prayer. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what your circumstance is, but you got stuff going on. You got some junk. And today you say, I just need God to move in my life. I just need prayer. This doesn't mean something bad is happening. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person, but you got something going on and you say, I need God to move in this situation. And I'd like some people to join with me in prayer. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Maybe you're sick in body and you need healing. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Maybe you need a miracle. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Lord, we just thank you right now. I thank you right now, Lord. I thank you for the ones that are responding. And Lord, I thank you for the ones that are still on the edge. And God, I just pray that you just begin to move and you begin to move in their hearts today, God. These altars are open. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so.